Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you making us a part of your day. I have with me a very special man. He has a heart for the family, especially for kids and those that are missing a father actively present in their lives. Maybe their parents are divorced, or worse, maybe complete absence or estrangement. My guest today is Sean Tice, and his ministry is called God Is My Dad Ministry. Sean is tackling one of the most serious problems in our society today. Did you know that in the United States, an estimated 18.3 million children, or roughly 1 in 4, live without their father in the home? This is staggering, but sadly, not surprising. This figure represents a significant number of children experiencing father absence, according to the National Fatherhood Initiative. And it really only scratches the surface when you start to look at all the underreporting and detached parents drifting in and out of the home. My friends, we have so much to cover with Sean. He has practical wisdom and godly encouragement for dads and for moms. Welcome, Sean Tice. Sean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Sean, you know, first and foremost, I know that you had the opportunity of meeting my dad, and the two of you just hit it off. You guys formed this kindling relationship, and then I was able to meet you for the first time down at Windshape Retreat Center at the Fatherhood Commission. God clearly had something special on your heart back then. We ran into each other at like the Gaylord Texan, I think is what it was, you and your boys. And then I was like, come on, come to Ignite, to our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. You show up with your sons, and what a blessing that was just to see God use you in their life, to see you guys worshiping together, praising the Lord together, growing in relationship with one another during that time. It's been an incredible friendship, and I look forward to the road ahead. Speak to just our friendship and what that has kind of meant to you and where this all kind of has blossomed, because clearly we share a lot of the same passions.
Yeah, you and your dad have been such an encouragement to me in our ministry. Just getting to know both of you and really just seeing how you guys operate and all the different things you're involved in, getting to know your dad first and just kind of seeing, you know, all the stuff that he's doing and involved in and he's created, and it's just exciting. But then getting to meet you at Fatherhood Commission was a blessing, and hearing the talk that you gave there, you hit a home run. Like it was just powerful and encouraging to me as a ministry leader and just trying to learn and navigate as a Christian, but also walk through life as a ministry leader trying to help fatherless families. But then you were so gracious. We saw each other at the NRB, Gaylord Texan. My son wanted to go watch, I forget what it was, some sporting event, and we were at the Gaylord Texan, wanted to go watch that event, and so we stopped into a restaurant. I saw you sitting over there across the table. My son and I watched the event for a little bit, and then we came over and said hi to you, and you graciously just invited us to Ignite. I went back to my room. I'm like, wow, that was so nice of him to do that. And so I feel like that's where our friendship started. You know, we met each other at Fatherhood Commission, but our friendship started there. You were just so gracious. And then you had us at Ignite, and my boys just had, and I had a great, amazing time. My boys had an amazing time meeting Kirk Cousins, and, you know, and just, it was just such a cool event, but even getting to see you guys operate. And so hopefully we'll get an invite back this coming year, but
definitely, my friend, you're always
loved
welcome.
It, man. Yeah. It was so awesome. So just so thankful for you and your dad, man. You guys have been great.
Sean, one thing that I want to dive into just up front, obviously there is some backwater here to this story, right? This mission and this passion that oozes out of you for this particular call, it's personal to you. I know you have a story, you have an upbringing of being raised in a single parent home. Share with us a little bit more about your story and your testimony and where all of this passion and this heart for this ministry really comes from.
Yeah, it started when I was about 9 months old. My dad came home in a drunken rage, and he had a past history of abuse. He had beat my mom up on several occasions, and he actually grew up fatherless himself, so a lot of it came from him growing up without a dad. His dad died when he was about 13, and he grew up in Las Vegas, so instead of coping through the Lord, he coped through the world's methods, and it did not was not beneficial in any way. And so my dad was an alcoholic, a drug addict, and just struggled with a lot of demons himself. And so he came home that night when I was about 9 months old. We were in our trailer in central Pennsylvania, and he kicked my mother and my brother and my sister out of our trailer, but it kept me, the little 9-month-old baby. My mom was nervous because he had beat her up and stuff in the past, so she didn't know what he was going to do to me. And so she ran over to the neighbor's house. They got the cops to come. The cops showed up, and instead of gently handing me over, he took me and threw me across the room to the cops. And I'm thankful to this day that cop could catch, you know what I mean? Cop caught me. Actually just recently met one of the cops that was there. I'm 40.
No way.
And he was there 39 years ago, and it was it's just really cool to meet him. But that night the cops told him, they said, if we have to see you again, you're getting put away for a long time. And so he decided, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Las Vegas. And so he got a bus ticket and went back to Las Vegas, Nevada, and never came back. And so I started that day what I call the fatherless journey. On this journey to figure out life without a dad, I had an older brother and older sister. My mom became a single mom. We moved in with my grandparents for a little bit. Then we lived with my mom in a house for a while. And then, sadly, my mom repeated the cycle when she moved in with another guy and moved in with my grandparents. And I tell you all this because to really get to the core of it, where God protected me through the whole thing, through my dad throwing me to the cops, and then through my living with my grandparents. I look back and I'm like, wow, God, you just redeemed me through that whole situation. And so I'm here to testify that God will help you no matter what you're going through.
Most definitely he will. I sit across from boys and girls often because I do a lot of work with, you know, the rising generations, not the next gen, but today's generations. And I just think about the pain that I've seen so many kids experience because of fatherlessness. And I want to rattle off some stats here because I want people to understand the severity of what we're experiencing, right? If the stats hold true, when we're talking about fatherlessness, we're really in an epidemic here. The prevalence of fatherlessness. I know I read one stat, another stat said that about 24.7 million children, that's 33% of children, live absent from their biological father. Single parent households, around 23% of children in the U.S. are raised by a single parent, a rate significantly higher than the global average, with about 80% of those homes being led by single mothers. Impact on the children. Children from single-parent families are twice as likely to suffer from mental health and behavioral problems, things like anxiety, depression, addiction, suicidality, and more. Juvenile delinquency. A significant portion of youth in state-operated facilities and those in the juvenile justice system come from single-parent homes. 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Clearly, there's a common denominator here. And one thing that I've seen a lot in my work with the youth and those that have come from fatherless homes, even grown-ups that maybe haven't, in a sense, worked on that wound, is a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, a lot of rage, a lot of resentment. Sean, from your experience, you're on the front lines, right? You walk alongside of people that come from homes similar to what you were brought up in. Share with us just how do you even begin to navigate some of those experiences, some of those emotions, while at the same time, are these stats kind of true of what you've experienced as well?
They definitely are. We share statistics like that all the time. And what we found with our ministry is these kids, you know, they're not bad people. And one of the things that they're labeled as is, oh, they're bad kids. They show up to your church. A lot of times there's people that care about them, but other times they're looked at as bad. But I want to encourage people to look at them in the sense of a scale. You know, if you have mom and dad in your life, then your life's in balance. You know, if it's a good mom and dad, when the kid goes through life without mom and dad, their life goes off balance. And so they're walking through life, they're kind of off balance, and they're trying to figure out life. And a lot of times they'll cope through different coping methods that, you know, drugs, alcohol, relationships, things like that. And what we found in our ministry is boys, they're, you know, a lot of times boys are taught how to respect themselves, how to respect people, how to respect a lady, how to be a respectable person in society, a lot about respect from a dad. And when they don't not taught that, they're not taught how to be respectable, they go and they end up committing crime, they go and they end up, you know, becoming a drug addict or alcoholic, and I'm not saying because because you grow up fatherless, you're definitely going to do this. I'm here to testify. You don't have to do that. But a lot of times what we're seeing is from that. Or they get involved in a group of friends or a gang, and that those people lead them, and they teach them, you don't need to be respectable. You don't need to get on this path. With girls, we've seen that the girls learn security or get security from their dads. And so a girl will crave that security. She craves it when her dad's not providing that. Dads tell their daughters, I love you. You're beautiful. You're my little princess. And when they don't have that, they crave that. And so they look for it in a boy, or a lot. Sometimes they get taken advantage of by a man. And, you know, 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. That's an old statistic. That's from 1999 from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. But 71% of pregnant teenage girls, we look at the issue of abortion, we're like, man, this issue of abortion is a big struggle. If we go to the root of the problem and help provide security to these young girls that are growing up without a dad, imagine the difference we could make. If we go to these little boys and tell them, teach them how to be respectable, how to respect themselves as a person and respect the people around them, imagine the difference we can make. And I think if we go to the root of the problem, like James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless. If you look at the word, I think that's the key, the answer to the number one social issue in our country, fatherlessness, is to visit them. If you visit them and you go into their life and you spend time with them, that's going to help them have that security. That's going to help them have that, learn how to be respectable. That's going to help bring their life back into balance. And so these are some of the things that we've seen with our ministry over the years.
It's amazing to see what God is doing in and through you guys as you're walking alongside of them, and you're sitting with them and you're receiving them and you're walking alongside of them. It's so important, the work that you're doing. All of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, man, we love and appreciate you guys and what God is doing in and through you. But what's interesting is, as the stats have shown, right, and we are showing some of the negative effects of what fatherlessness can produce within individuals. But here's the thing, and I remember coming across this quote a long time ago. It said, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad, right? Because any man can start a family, but it takes a special type of man to sustain a family. And so being able to recognize, hey, what are some of those things that if there is a dad who is actively involved, who is engaged, who is present emotionally, physically, and more in a child's life, what could that potentially do? Research has shown this. The rates of those same mental health disorders, anxiety, depression, addiction, suicidality, are diminished at a much more drastic rate. Children with actively engaged fathers are less likely to repeat a class and more likely to get A's in school. They have improved social skills and emotional well-being. And many have even noted that they believe a child's identity development happens at a much more rapid rate. Sean, you know, I'm interested in this because you're someone who grew up really without that fatherly influence in your life, that role model in that particular sense. But yet I've gotten to watch you, and I've gotten to see the way you interact with your children. I've gotten to see the type of dad you are firsthand. And I'm interested, speak to what you have learned about the importance of the role of a father. Father's Day is right around the corner. I know it can bring up some great emotions for some like myself. I had the privilege and the honor of being raised by an incredible father who's still my best friend. We do this show together. But at the same time, I know that is not the reality for so many. And so just speak to the significance here to a dad out there maybe listening of his role within the home.
One of the things that people come to up to our table and tell us, they say, when, you know, I speak at events or, you know, churches, they say to us, I grew up with a dad in my house, but I was basically fatherless. And it's we hear that probably more than anything with our ministry, because they just feel like I didn't have a dad. And what they're telling us is, my dad was physically present, but he was mentally, emotionally, or spiritually absent. He wasn't in my life in those ways. And so I encourage dads, when I speak at churches, conferences, I encourage dads to do your best. You're not always going to be perfect. And don't strive. I mean, you can strive to be perfect, but don't beat yourself up if you're not. And just do your best to try to go out and hit home runs. You know, look at batting averages. They're not perfect, right? But you try to go out, you swing, you try your best to hit a home run. But sometimes you're not going to, but sometimes you will. But go out and do your best as a dad, and your kids will appreciate it so much. And the things in life that we get so consumed with hobbies, with careers, with jobs, and those things aren't bad, but your kids should be way more important than those things. And so I want to encourage dads, be involved in their life. The reason why I'm even on this show with you right now is because the people that stepped into my life and they decided, hey, I'm going to help Sean out. And so I had a grandfather that stepped into my life whenever I was 10 months old, right after my dad left, and he became like my dad. And so honestly, from 10 months old till about sixth grade when he passed away, I didn't even really feel the effects of not having a dad because I had this grandfather that poured into my life. He loved me like I was his own. He cared about me and nurtured me. But then he died right before sixth grade, and a little almost 12-year-old boy. And I was trying. I felt it then. You know what I mean? I was lost. And so for a few years, I kind of navigated without him. Till middle of my seventh grade year, then I had a youth pastor come to our church, and he just started pouring into me, started caring about me, and just really just took interest in who I was, and he just wanted to bring me into, you know, help with his family, and went on vacation with them and different things like that. And it was just a healthy, good relationship with a mentor. And I'm so thankful to him and that happened for a few years. And then I had other people in my church. I had a guy named Rob that was a guy that just filled in and just wanted to be encouraging. He just was a volunteer in our church. And I knew that his house had an open door policy and I could go spend time there. But I had a couple different other mentors. A guy named Brian took me hunting in Pennsylvania. And I know, Zach, you can relate to that. But I had different people that poured into me. But the last one was a guy named Jim. And Jim, when I was 15 years old, I started working for them at their house. He owned some car washes and some air machines and vacuums at different gas stations, like 600 air machines, 400 vacuums. I mean, he had a pretty big business. But I started working for them at their house and doing jobs for them. But I quickly became like part of the family. And one of the things that they did was while I was working at their house, at the shop there, come over and have dinner with us. And I would go over and sit at their table and get to be kind of part of the family. And even to this day, at 40 years old, he's my dad. This guy became like my dad. He's on my board for my ministry. We actually are right now building a house beside them on their land. It's such a redeeming story. And so just so excited to tell you about that because he poured into my life and just, he's Gramps to my kids. His wife is Grammy Deb to my kids. They're like in-laws to my wife. They're our family. There's no blood relation, no marriage relation. They just poured into me. And so anybody can be a good dad and anybody can be a good mentor as well.
What an encouraging word right there. Anybody can be a good dad and anybody can be a good mentor. We need godly men like that to step up and to fill the gaps where those places and where those holes really are and where they exist in individuals' lives. And not only has someone done that for you, but I know you're doing that for many. Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and our guest today is founder of God Is My Dad Ministry, Sean Tice. You know, Sean, I want to ask you this because, again, you kind of are alluding to my next question and where I wanted to go next, which is Father's Day can be a difficult time for some people, especially those who don't have that role model, who don't have that fatherly influence in their life. Maybe they're struggling again with anger, with rage, with, you know, resentment. They're just upset because they're starting to compare things, right? Things are starting to come together where it's like, man, I don't have a dad like him. Or, man, I don't have a dad like her. Man, I wish I did. Like, where's my dad, right? They're starting to ask a lot of these questions. And I think that's why the name of your ministry alone is so significant. God is my dad, right? God is the Father. Louis Giglio put it this way, that God is not a reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of your earthly father. I'm thinking of Psalm 27:10. Again, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Sean, speak to just a word of hope to the person out there today listening who maybe has never had that influence in their life about the role that God can play and about who you have found God to be in your own personal life in the father that he has become and always has been.
I love the verse Psalm 68:5, a father of the fatherless is God in his holy habitation. In God's holy dwelling, he wants to be a father to the fatherless. And so if you're out there and you don't have a dad in your life, God will father you if you let him. He will be your dad through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to trust in Jesus as your Savior and experience God as your father. That honestly, it was transformational to me, and that's what we do with our ministry. We help people understand that by trusting in Jesus as your Savior, then by walking with him daily and saying, I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to let him speak to me through his Bible. I'm going to talk to him through prayer. I'm going to build a relationship with God. And I'm not just talking. This is what I live. And I'm not saying that out of pride, but I've found this is the best way to live while you just walk with God and let God lead your life every day. It is so much easier than trying to navigate through life on your own. This Father's Day, Father's Day can be very challenging for fatherless individuals. It's really one of the hardest days besides, you know, a day that maybe your dad passed away or something like that. Father's Day is very hard. I remember growing up and hating Father's Day at certain times when I didn't have an influence in my life. But I want to encourage you to celebrate God during Father's Day. And so celebrate your relationship with God. Also celebrate your mentors. If you have people that have poured into your life, whether it is a man or a woman, you have people in your life that are have been good to you, celebrate them on Father's Day. If there's people listening to this that are maybe a pastor or a ministry leader, on GodIsMyDad.com, we have a guide where you can really learn how to help people growing up without a dad on Father's Day. And so Father's Day is a big time for our ministry. There's a whole guide on, you can have a God is My Dad Father's Day party. We're actually having one at our church where we bring in the single moms and the fatherless individuals the day before Father's Day, and we have a party for them and just help them and encourage them during that time. We have a guide on how to do that. We also have a pep talk video for Father's Day on our website. We have a devotional on YouVersion called Fatherless on Father's Day. You can download that. We have all kinds of content to help during Father's Day. It can be a very challenging time, but through God, you can overcome it.
Amen. And I would encourage each and every one of you, two verses that I lean on heavily in my own personal life, especially when maybe life starts to feel a little bit lonely and you're frustrated and you're disappointed with the way that things are, maybe the circumstances that you've been presented. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name," God says. "You are mine. So when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." My friends, again, God is not the reflection of your earthly father. He is the perfection of your earthly father. Lean into him. Man, I applaud you. Just again, just the father that I know that you are, the father that I've seen you just become and that I've watched you just interact with your kids, even at Ignite, man, just watching you spend time with your boys. That was special to me. That blessed my heart. I'm grateful for the dad that you are. So thank you, my friend, for all that you do. Let me ask this as we wrap up. Where can our audience go to find out more about you, but also to lean into all the incredible resources, like you said, the app, the potential book coming out, this initiative around single mothers and more? Where can they go to find out more about God is My Dad Ministries?
GodIsMyDad.com. That's where all of our content is for people that want to help and the people that want to be helped and be encouraged. And also search for God is My Dad on social media. We're on most social media outlets, YouTube. We're on also on YouVersion. We have a channel on there. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I mean, we're all over the place. So just search for us, God is My Dad. We'd love to connect with you.
Make sure you go to GodIsMyDad.com. Again, check out all the incredible resources. Sean Tice, my friend, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, "A church without the broken is a broken church." You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, Battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.